The reading is taken from the book of Titus, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, of faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Saviour. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour.
Well, do keep that passage open and we'll pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. We pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may understand it and believe it and see its relevance to our lives today and take it on board and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ of whom it speaks. Amen. Well, it's a very great privilege to be preaching today on the occasion of Jonah's dedication. What is the greatest thing we could wish for Jonah, or rather, pray for Jonah? I like that story about the boy and his father who are planning a fishing trip for the next day. That evening, as the father was putting his son to bed, the boy hugged his father's neck and said, "Daddy, thank you for tomorrow." That's an illustration of hope. The boy completely trusts his father. He knows that if his father promises a fishing trip, it's as good as done. He knows it will happen. His hope for the fishing trip is a certainty. Our Bible reading is about hope. I want Jonah to be a man of hope. We do need hope. There are no guarantees in this life. We could get sick. We could lose our jobs. Our marriages could break down. And so we could go on. The hymn, "Glorious things of thee are spoken," speaks of solid joys and lasting treasures. That's the Christian's experience. He has a real hope. The Bible says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what I pray for Jonah. That he will be a man of faith, that he will be sure of what he hopes for, that he will be certain of what he does not see. What is the Christian's hope? It's God. It's being with God in heaven. This makes all the difference in the world. I sometimes take funerals. I sometimes attend deathbeds. I've watched people die with a hope of heaven. And I've watched people literally thrash about, raging against the dying of the light, in the words of Dylan Thomas. Do you know that poem? "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." I've watched people die like that. Just over a month ago, my very good friend Alex Buchanan died. He was a long-standing Christian. His wife told me what a wonderful death he had. He was surrounded by his family, all of them trusting in Christ. They read him the Bible. They prayed together. They worshipped together. And he passed peacefully, even joyfully, into eternity, into the presence of God. This is what verse 2 of our reading calls the hope of eternal life. This is what Jonah needs. This is what we all need. Because no matter what we achieve in life, how lovely our family is, how much money we make, how big our house is, whatever we achieve, the light dies over it. And we must go, gentle or otherwise, into that good night. Allow me to share with you this Christian hope, based in history, based on the good news, based on God. Firstly, based in history. This is important. If the Christian faith is not an historical religion, then it's just make-believe. We'd all like to believe in heaven, but is it true? Well, I can't offer you a scientific experiment which proves the existence of God. I can offer you the balance of probability, the same balance of probability on which a jury makes a decision in court. Consider this. Something happened in history. Jesus Christ lived. There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt that he died on a cross. It isn't just the New Testament which bears witness to this. In my view, the resurrection of Jesus is utterly convincing. Lord Caldicott, Lord Chief Justice of England and Wales, wrote this. My faith began and was grounded on what I thought was revealed in the Bible. When particularly I came to the New Testament, the Gospels, and other writings of the men who had been friends of Jesus Christ, they seemed to me to make an overwhelming case, merely as a matter of strict evidence, for the fact therein stated. The same approach to the cardinal test of the claims of Jesus Christ, namely his resurrection, has led me, as often as I have tried to examine the evidence, to believe it as a fact beyond dispute. Many, many great minds have come to this conclusion. More people, as a percentage of the population, are becoming Christians in Oxford and Cambridge than anywhere else in the country. Why is that? It's because there is very good evidence that the Christian faith is true. I put it to you that the Christian hope is based in history. Jesus Christ was born, lived a perfect life, died in the place of others, rose from the dead, and in so doing validated his claim to be God and the giver of eternal life. This is certainly Paul's conviction in verse 1 of our reading. He is the writer of this letter to Titus, who is the pastor of the church on Crete. He describes himself as a servant of God. He wasn't always one. He was a persecutor of Christians. But he met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. His life was utterly transformed. Something happened to him, which must be explained. Paul, the persecutor of Jesus Christ, became, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle means messenger. Paul was commissioned by Jesus to be his messenger. This is the historical basis of the Christian hope, based in history. Secondly, based on the good news, again in verse 1. Verse 1, Paul becomes a messenger of Jesus, an apostle of Jesus, for the faith of God's elect. There is a creedal center to the Christian hope. In other words, you can't just believe whatever you like. There is a message which creates the faith of God's elect, God's people. What is this message which creates a faith? In a book called The Whisper Test, Mary Ann Bird writes, "I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. And when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, a crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow, it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. Annually, we'd have a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard, our teacher whom we adored, gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at the desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, 'The sky is blue,' or 'Do you have new shoes?' I waited there for those words that God must have put into her mouth. Those 7 words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, 'I wish you were my little girl.'" That's the good news of the gospel. God is saying, "I want you to be my child." This is Paul's message for the faith of God's elect. God is saying, "I've given my son to leave the glory of heaven, to be born in poverty, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, taking your sin so that you can be forgiven. And then he rose from the dead to show that it's all true." The Christian hope is based in history, based on the good news that we can become children of God because Jesus has taken the punishment for our sin. That's the core of the Christian faith. And verse 1, this knowledge of the truth leads to godliness. In other words, it changes your life. Someone has said, perhaps the strongest argument for the gospel of Christ is someone whose life has been changed by it. Charles Bradlaugh, the atheist, once challenged the Reverend H.P. Hughes to a debate. Hughes, who was head of a rescue mission in London, accepted the challenge with the condition that he could bring with him 100 men and women who would tell what had happened in their lives since trusting Christ as their Saviour. They would be people who once lived in deep sin, some having come from poverty-stricken homes caused by the vices of their parents. Hugh said they would not only tell of their conversion, but would submit to cross-examination by anyone who doubted their stories. Furthermore, the minister invited his opponent to bring a group of non-believers who could tell how they were helped by their lack of faith. I could introduce you to more than 100 people whose lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. That's my prayer for Jonah, that he should come to know the truth and be transformed by the truth. The Christian hope is based in history, based on the good news, and thirdly, based on God. Verse 2, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. This is real faith. Faith based on the content of the Christian gospel. Knowledge based on the teaching of Jesus. The hope of eternal life. Promised before the beginning of time. By God, who does not lie. H.G. Wells, who famously wrote War of the Worlds, was never religious. But after he'd studied the history of the human race and had observed human life, came to this conclusion. Religion is the first thing and the last thing. And until a man has found God and been found by God, he begins at no beginning, he works to no end. He may have his friendships, his partial loyalties, his scraps of honor, but all these things fall into place, and life falls into place, only with God. If God is true, if God does not lie, you can have this hope of eternal life. It all depends on Him. He promised it before the beginning of time. Before the creation of the world, God the Father asked God the Son to come to earth, to live for us, to die for us, to rise again for us. And before the creation of the world, God the Son willingly chose to come and do this for us. God does not lie. Verse 3, and at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me, says Paul. There was a moment in history when God revealed his plan. He revealed Jesus, his son. He gave a preacher, the apostle Paul. And in a much lesser sense, he's given you a preacher today. Chris Jenkins. And it's Chris Jenkins' privilege to give you God's message. It all depends on him. He is faithful. He does not lie. He loves you. He loves Jonah. The singer Kathy Tricoli grew up in an overprotective home, which she rebelled against very strongly. She was a singer, and she was into the drink and drug scene. One day she met a friend called Cindy, who used to read the Bible. She was the epitome of a girl that I would not be friends with. And when she started telling me about Jesus, I made fun of her. But Cindy kept talking to Kathy, kept praying for her, and eventually Kathy was confronted with a decision. What would she do with Jesus Christ? She encountered him on the 5th of August, 1988. She made him her king and her rescuer. And she's lived for him ever since. This is my prayer for Jonah. This is my prayer for each one of us. the hope of eternal life. I want you to enjoy this, not just because I say so, but because this hope is based in history, based on the good news, based on God. I'd love you to explore this hope for yourself. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we run a course called Christianity Explored, at which you can ask any question you have, and we'd love to have your company. We sell a book called Cure for Life, which goes through the reasons why we can believe the Christian faith is true. It goes through some of the evidence I've been talking about. Do come and talk to one of us over coffee. But if you've asked your questions, like Kathy Tricoli, don't delay. Come to God today. Ask him to give you the hope of eternal life. Let's take a moment of silence. And if you want to, you can ask God right now to give you the hope of eternal life. You can ask Jesus to be your king and be your rescuer. Father, we thank you that you offer us hope. Hope not just for this life, but for eternal life. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sin, so that we might be rescued from hell and might know your forgiveness and your love, your blessing, and a relationship with you for all eternity. Lord, we pray that this would be Jonah's experience, and we pray that it will be the experience of each one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.